We thank the Lord for the privilege of sharing another Way of Truth broadcast with you. This service originates in the radio studios of the Church of God in Hagerstown, Maryland, United States of America. This is Alvin and Craig inviting you to stay with us, trusting the Lord will use us and our broadcast to be a blessing to you today. We open the musical part of our service today with the Way of Truth singers singing for us, "Who is on the Lord's Side?"
Now to God be granted all the praise and glory, for he gave his Son on Calvary to die. The Son gave his life on old Golgotha. Now who is on the Lord's side tonight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right?
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Yes, upon the cross there hang our blessed Savior. And the clouds came o'er the sun and hid the sky. But the price for our salvation there he purchased. If unto the words of God you'll draw nigh. Now who is on the Lord's side among you? Who will help us join in the fight? Who is on the Lord's side among you? Who is on the side of the right? Now who is on the Lord's side among you? Tell me who is on the Lord's side tonight.
It isn't everyone that is on the Lord's side. There are multitudes of people today who are opposed to the Lord and to the Lord's way. But I thank God for the Lord's way, for the Lord's way is right. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Our Father, we do thank you for the privilege of presenting this service today. We're trusting that wherever it is reaching, the Holy Spirit will accompany it and make it a blessing to hearts and to lives. We thank you for our congregation. I know that you love each one. You know their burdens, their cares, and their concerns, and we're praying that you'll minister to them as only you can. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Satisfied. The only thing that's lasting
Our subject for today's broadcast, The Thief, and our text of Scripture is found in St. John chapter 10 and the first part of verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. A thief is one who steals, who takes that which does not belong to him, and he also has no right to have it. This can be done secretly, or by fraud, or by some other means, some scam. But a thief is one who robs and takes that which does not belong to them. In the setting of our text, it seems that Jesus has reference to the Pharisees and possibly to others. We notice in verse 1 of this chapter, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber." So there are millions today who are climbing up some other way, thinking they will end up in heaven, but according to this passage of Scripture, they are thieves and robbers, for there is only one door to the sheepfold, and of course that one door is the Lord Jesus Christ. And to come by him and through him, you enter into the sheepfold. But whenever you reject Christ and do not come through the door of Christ, then, and you try to come up some other way, you are a thief and a robber, according to the teachings of Jesus here in our lesson text today. Now, Jesus said in verse 9, "I am the door to the sheepfold," of course, "and by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved." And I would emphasize the fact that there is only one door to the sheepfold, and there's only one Savior, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse 8, Jesus said, "All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers." Adam Clark says on this verse, "Our Lord probably refers to the scribes and Pharisees who pretended to show the way of salvation to the people who, in fact, stole into or among the fold and clothed themselves with the fleece and devoured the sheep. Jesus taught us in another passage of Scripture that the enemy comes even professing to be the Christ. Yes, he would appear supposedly as the Christ, but his purpose and aim is to deceive people and to steal away their affection from God and to keep them from coming to a knowledge of the truth. For Jesus said, if you would be my disciples indeed, then you obey my word, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. But an enemy would rob you of the truth. They would keep you from entering in through the true door, and they would let you have, in fact, they would help you to have the religious profession, and that was the case in Jesus' day with the scribes and the Pharisees. Now, many use our text to refer to Satan, and I don't think it really does harm to use it that way, for Satan was and is a master deceiver. He is the chief of thieves and robbers, and he has robbed multitudes of souls of their opportunity of being saved. So I shall use it in that light in the rest of the message today. The word Satan means adversary. He is indeed an adversary of God's and all that God and all that God stands for. He is not only the adversary of to God's people, but he is no friend even to the unsaved. He's not really your friend. He'll help you to do wrong. He'll give you a lot of lies, pretending to give you a lot of happiness wherein you cannot find true happiness in serving the devil. But again, he is a liar and the father of it. The Bible tells us that, and we know that it is true. He appears as an angel of light to deceive the very elect, if possible, Jesus said. He walks about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Jesus said that Satan is a liar and the father of it, and he told the first lie, and he's been lying all through the ages to the hearts and to the lives of men, women, boys, and girls. Satan stole Adam and Eve's spiritual life and caused them to lose their beautiful garden home by lying to Eve. God had told them, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that tree, you shall die. But old Satan comes in the form of the serpent and talks with Eve and lies to her and tells her, you shall not die. Now, if there was ever a lie told, that's certainly one, because God had said, and God cannot lie. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. So God had told Adam and Eve, do not eat of the fruit of the tree that's in the midst of the garden, for in the day that you do, then you shall die. And Satan comes tempting Eve and tells her she will not die. But beloved, whenever she ate, gave to her husband and he did eat, both of them died. Not physically, no, but they died spiritually. And that means they were separated from God. They no longer had sonship in the family of God. They no longer had fellowship with God. And therefore, God drove them out of that garden. So I say, by obeying Satan's lie, they not only died spiritually, but they lost their beautiful garden home. Now, he stole Abel's physical life by having Cain to kill him. Yes, Abel was slain by his own brother. So Satan was back of that. Satan is the one that had Cain to do it. And he robbed, I'm talking about Satan now, Satan robbed Abel's physical life from him through what Cain did. He stole the true worship of the children of Israel that belonged to God by getting them to worship the golden calf that Aaron made. And of course, they worshiped other idols as well. But after God had so miraculously brought the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, Moses was up on the mountain getting the law from God, and Aaron and the children of Israel was down below the mountaintop, and Moses was up there 40 days, and they said to Aaron, "We don't know what's happened to Moses. We don't know what's happened to this man. Make us a god." And they took off their jewelry and melted it down, and it was fashioned into a golden calf, and they were worshiping it. Whenever God told Moses to get down off of the mountain, and when he got inside of the camp and saw what was going on, they were carrying on in an indecent, ungodly way, worshiping that idol, and it angered Moses so much that he threw those two tables of stone that had the Ten Commandments on them and broke them. And he had to go back up on the mount later and get them anew. God wrote them a second time. But the point is, while Moses was up there, the people persuaded Aaron to make them a calf. And they said, "This be the God that brought us out of the land of Egypt." What a lie! What a lie! And so Satan has been lying to people all down through the ages. He stole Uriah's wife, and in fact, he had her husband slain. Yes, he used Solomon. Solomon lusted after Uriah's wife, Bathsheba, and committed adultery with her. And whenever he brought Uriah home to try to cover his sin, and Uriah wouldn't go to his house to be with his wife, then Solomon had him slain. So the devil robbed Uriah's wife, robbed his, and even took his life through putting him up in the front of the battle, and he was slain. He steals the truth out of the hearts of some by getting them to depart from the faith. Yes, Paul told us that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Notice what Paul said, seducing spirits. And that's, of course, spirits of the devil. So he steals the truth out of the hearts of some by getting them to depart from the faith. He steals the love of the hearts of husband and wives by getting them to lust after someone else, thus breaking up the home. And many times children are the ones who suffer the most by the work of the devil. And Satan brings division among the saints and divides congregation. As a result, many souls are lost. No, God never divides his people. Division is contrary to the teachings of the Word of God. We find Jesus praying in the 17th chapter of St. John that his followers would all be one, even as he and the Father was one. But Satan brings in division, contentions, and strifes, and he divides congregation, and as a result, souls are lost. The Apostle Paul wrote to the children of God there at Corinth, and he told them that there should be no division among them, that they should all speak the same thing. Now Satan not only divides and scatters flocks, and as a result souls are lost, he gives false gifts to preachers, thus deceives many by their works and gets them to climb up some other way. Yes, there are false gifts. Many, many preachers have a gift from Satan and not from God, and they are preaching for Satan and not for God. Now, don't be offended at what I'm saying, for this is exactly what Jesus Christ taught. He taught that false Christs would arise and would deceive many. And the Word of God, the apostles, warned people against the false teachers and the false preachers. The apostle Paul, again, in Galatians 1, said, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that taught you the truth and brought the truth to you. So Satan gives false gifts. And we read in the Scriptures about how, in the book of Revelation, how the three unclean spirits came out of the mouth of the dragon, out of the mouth of the beast, and out of the mouth of the false prophet. And he said there in Revelation 16 that these are the spirits of devils working miracles. We find even back in Egypt, whenever Aaron threw down the rod, old Pharaoh had his magicians to come in. They threw down their rods and they became serpents. So the devil can work miracles. Just because some preacher works a miracle does not prove that he is a man of God. For again, Satan gives false gifts, and there are false prophets out there empowered by Satan. Now, the Apostle John said that we should try the Spirit and see whether they be of God or not. Now, he steals the love of God out of the hearts and replaces it with the love of the world. John said, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. A young man came to Jesus one time, wanting to know about eternal life, and Jesus told him what he must do. And he told him that he should go and sell what he had, give to the poor, and come and follow me. But the young man went away sorrowful, because he had great riches. And so Satan steals the love of God out of people's hearts and replaces that love with the love of the world. And you cannot love the world and love God. And if you love God, you do not love the world. Now he does his utmost to keep sinners from leaving his prison and accepting Christ as Savior and Lord. Yes, sin is a prison, and Jesus Christ came to open the prison house and to set the captive free. But Satan, I say, does his utmost to keep sinners from leaving his prison and accepting Christ as Savior. What will your friends think? What will your family do? What will this and what about that? All kinds of excuses. You know, we read of a parable Jesus gave of a man who had prepared a great supper, and it invited certain guests, and he sent and told them to come, all things are now ready. And they began to make excuse. Well, I have bought a piece of property. I've got to go see what it's all about. I bought a yoke of oxen. I got to go test them. Oh, I married a wife and I cannot come. Excuses, excuses. And Satan has all kinds of excuses for people to give to keep from accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Now, we need to be awakened to what old Satan is, and we need to shun him and to shun his ways and works. For God is true, and in him is no darkness at all. So if you want to have life, if you want to live forever, then accept the Lord Jesus Christ and let him cleanse you and deliver you from Satan and from his lies. Satan does all his evil work in the aim of stealing and killing and finally destroying. Anyone who has spiritual life, or if they are void of life, he does all he can to keep them in the state of death, for his final aim to land them in the lake of fire, which is the second death. Jesus came into this world to destroy the works of the devil out of the hearts and lives of men and women, boys and girls, and to give them victory over him. The Apostle John tells us, "For this purpose the Son of God was manifest, that he might destroy the works of the devil." It's 1 John chapter 3 and verse 8. Into every heart the Lord is allowed to enter, he destroys the works of the devil out of that heart and out of that life. I trust these thoughts will stir hearts and will be a benefit and a blessing to you. Our Father, we thank you for the privilege of sharing the truth with this precious congregation today. We trust the Holy Spirit has accompanied it and will make it a blessing to each and to every one. This we ask in Jesus' name, amen. Now our mailing address, The Way of Truth Broadcast, Post Office Box 88, Hagerstown, Maryland, 21741, USA. Our email address, truth@fred.net. Our fax number, 301-739-7173. Our webpage address, www.wayoftruth.org. You can read our monthly magazine there on our webpage. You can also listen to any past broadcast if you've missed any or would like to hear one again. And you can also join us in our services. Our Sunday morning service begins 20 minutes before 11. Our evening service at 6. And then Wednesday, our service begins at 7. Our webpage address again, www.wayoftruth.org. And now this is Alvin Craig. We thank you for being a part of our congregation today, and we invite you to tune in this station next week when, again, the Lord willing, we'll be coming your way with another Way of Truth broadcast.